Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, protected, not neglected. Welcome back. This is the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. You can find all of our local people doing local podcasts, some less local than others, but doing it, living the dream. Glad I could be a part of that. Thank you for letting me be a part of that, guys and gals. How is everybody doing today? It is October the 3rd, Saturday. It's an amazing day, beautiful day. Not hot, cool, no humidity. There's a little Corvette Club meeting down the parking lot. It's always fun. You know, it's the fall when those things start popping because, you know, let's be honest, we live in an area that's so crazy. In the summer, you can't really do anything, and if you do something, nobody wants to go to it because the traffic's so bad. So, starting to see little things pop up, like the Corvette Club show down there at the end of the parking lot. So how is everybody? I wasn't going to podcast today, but then I thought, well, it's funny, we got 9 podcasts going now. We got, I think, 5 different people podcasting. We use a studio and, you know, it becomes harder and harder to get studio time because, you know, all these great people are doing great things. And when I say that, I mean it. The people that are podcasting with us are just killing it. You know, we have no rules, no expectations. Just go try something. You know, most of the people that are podcasting with us, you know, said, I've always wanted to try it. And they did. And next thing you know, they've got a podcast and people are listening and they're loving it. And people say to me all the time, oh, man, I love that podcast that so-and-so's doing, or I enjoy this podcast that so-and-so's doing. And then somebody had done, was on one of, I think it was the Be Soulfish Tribe podcast with Tara. And there was a girl that was on there, and she wrote that she goes, I wish the girl 5 years ago could have listened to this podcast. And the funny thing is the person that was doing this podcast, I had not a relationship, but I mean, we're friends, but 5 years ago, her and I, maybe it was even 6 or 7 years ago, had a little issue. And, you know, it's fine. We decided to go our separate ways, and that, you know, good luck, more power to you, but I thought to myself that this person just needs to experience this business, this career a little longer, and maybe she'll start understanding what my hang-ups were at the time. And listen, you know, I'm an asshole. I probably had to make an amends after having a conversation with her because, you know, I don't like to beat around the bush, so to speak. And, you know, being sober allowed me to have that conversation. She wasn't happy about it. She kind of, you know, called me some names and stuff, which maybe I deserve, whatever. But I'm like, that's cool. But the other day she showed up doing a podcast with somebody else and I was able to give her a hug. You know, how you doing? You know, all these battles. I remember when I first got sober and not first got sober. I'd been sober for a while, but, you know, going through and making amends and, you know, early sobriety, you want to find every fucking person that you had a conversation with that didn't go very well and make an amends. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so open to change when I got sober. I'm as willing to do anything and still am. But that was one of the gifts of early sobriety was that, you know, a lot of the times we'll do stuff, I'll do stuff that I feel bad about, but wouldn't do anything about, like cleaning it up, apologizing, making amends, because ego played such a big role in my life. But when I finally got sober and they started saying, listen, if you make a mistake, all you got to do is go apologize, make an amends. I'm like, really? I can do that? It's like you got a I'm sorry about last night card. You know, it's like I can go clean this up. How exciting. And that was a very big deal for me. And so, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I love cleaning the side, my side of the street up. Appropriate song. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to talk about when I sat down this morning. I knew I just wanted to just put some stuff out there. I know I wanted to chat for a second about, you know, our president. But the thinking about the podcast, it reminded me of this person that I had worked with that, you know, we had went our separate ways, and then she's doing this podcast. And then to read that, it was like, you know, there's people that you'll see doing things, and listen, I'm a different person now too. You know, we all grow, we all change, and but it, you know, there's sometimes things in life that people, there's nothing that they can say. There's no advice that you can be, that can be given. It won't come off correctly. Sometimes we just have to live through it. That's the reason, the whole reason I was able to get sober. I'd been told for many years about getting sober, and finally, the day I got sober, no one told me. It was a conversation I had with myself. And that was when I, you know, made the leap. But that, you know, time takes time. You got to get to that point. And it was kind of cool to read that, that she wished that the person that she was 5 years ago could listen to this. I'm assuming, I haven't talked to her about it. You know, it's personal. It's her personal journey. But I'm assuming, or I'm guessing that she feels like in the last 5 years that she's really grown. She probably feels, I'm guessing that she feels that 5 years ago she was a completely different person. You know, one of a lot of the stuff that I learned because I opened my own small business. You know, it's a big, you know, it's like kind of, it's like going to school and then deciding you're going to go home and learn school on your own. Teach yourself. A lot of people might be able to do that. But I know for me, it was good to have school because I had to go there. I had to have a teacher. You know, I had to show up. When you're running your own business or on your own, there's a lot of room for flexibility. You know, like maybe I don't want to work on Mondays or Wednesdays. Well, you know, and all of a sudden, then you're like, gosh, I'm not making enough money to keep my business open. And you're like, shit, maybe I need to work on Monday or Wednesdays or, you know, whatever it is. But the story kind of leads to change. And that's, so that was kind of cool. I guess the point of that is it's just really great to see people like my friend Tara doing her podcast and then other people really getting growth from it and me being able to read it, read about it, you know, comments and stuff. It's very cool. Yeah, so congratulations. The yesterday was really weird. So yesterday the president announced that he is has caught COVID-19, right? And I don't know about you, but for me, this presidency, this election, just the past 4 years have been just a lot of chaos, right? I don't hate Donald Trump. I don't hate the president. I don't love him either. I was disappointed the other day because I felt like the debate, we had that debate, there was a debate, and I was like, listen, I'm an undecided. I'll tell you, I did not vote last presidency. I was so discouraged by all of it that I just did not vote. I know, shame on me, but it's what it is. And I don't want to do that this year. I want to vote. I love voting. I love voting for the president. I love voting. It's so, you know, it's such an important thing, you know. So I was like, okay, they're going to have the debates. I'm going to watch. I'm going to be swayed. I'm open game right now. Someone bring me on board. I changed it after like 15 seconds. I couldn't even take it. I have removed stress and chaos and anxiety out of my life as best as I can, so much that whenever it shows up, I just blah, blah. And I was really disappointed, man. I just felt like it was a great opportunity to get out a message, and it didn't. There was no message. I don't even know what is the message for a presidency anymore. You know, I've talked about how my wife and I love to watch The West Wing. Love The West Wing. I'm ordering shirts that says Jed Bartlett for president. Because I love Jed Bartlett. I thought and it's a television show, I know, blah, blah. But it was so good. And just the in and outs of The West Wing and the White House and you know, the people that work for the president, the communications director and the chief of staff and assistant to the assistant to the assistant. It's just you know, it's a big thing. And so to watch the real life president and what kind of has been going on has been very discouraging. So I was a little annoyed, bummed out, frustrated, I guess maybe is the real word, frustrated. Because, you know, like I said, I was looking forward to maybe learning, hearing something, being swayed. I got none of that. And then you get, you know, 3 days of just constant blah about it. So I felt worse off than I did before the debate. And so, you know, I'm just kind of in this weird limbo place. And then yesterday they announced the president has caught COVID-19, him and his wife, the first lady, POTUS. And at first I was like, oh, that's weird. Well, I when I had read it, they had said that they had been around somebody that had the virus, so that the president and the first lady were going to quarantine themselves. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's weird. That's interesting. And then later on, it would turn out that he had tested positive, him and Melania, for COVID-19. And I'm like, and you know, all through all this, you never know what the fuck to think with these people anymore. You know, is this some other thing, like bad debate? Let's go positive with the COVID. Let's distract from that. Let's change the subject. And then it came out that he had tested positive, but he was just going to, you know, spend quarantine himself in the White House for 14 days. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what to believe. And then yesterday evening, they decided to move him to Walter Reed, and he flew in the helicopter over there, and it kind of hit me, man. I was like, you know, this is still just a guy. You know, this is our leader, right? Like it or not. And I remember during, like on the West Wing, and even though it's a television show, but this same kind of thing, I think the president had MS and he hadn't divulged it. And it was a big, you know, finally had to come clean. Listen, I've got MS. And, you know, the American public was upset. But, you know, they got over it. And it's the same kind of, I felt it was the same kind of thing. It's like this guy's got the COVID and now, just like on the West Wing, now it's like, well, when did he get it? When was he exposed? And now they're like creeping down through the timeline. Same thing on the West Wing. When did he know he had it? Who knew? Why didn't they? So, you know, you become part of the crime, right? And so they think they're saying, oh, well, he was probably Holly or whatever, one of the women that worked for him or something, but she apparently got it. And now they're like, oh, he was exposed this time, and then he went ahead and did this, even though he had been exposed. So it's going crazy. You know, the president having COVID-19 is now not going to be the story. The story will now become, when did he get it? Did he know? And how many people did he expose knowing that he had it? And I'm like, oh, my God. But the real story is it's still just a man or a husband and a wife that have gotten it. And then they're like, oh, he's starting to have symptoms. I'm like, Jesus, what would happen? That would be crazy if like we lost our president to this. It's just very bizarre. So I want to just say that my thoughts and prayers are with them. You know? Like, at some point, you know, I have to say, I don't care about that. And I don't care about this. What's really important is just another human, another brother, another sister that have gotten this. But there are people out there that are writing, you know, good, you know, really negative stuff. I can remember a time in my life that would have been me, pre-sober, before I got sober. To me, it's such lazy behavior. You know, it takes a lot of effort to say, listen, putting all that aside, he's still just a guy and a man, a human. And, you know, we don't want him to suffer. I want him to, you know, pull through this and get better. Hopefully he doesn't even get sick. You know, my 82-year-old mother got COVID in a nursing home, sick. I mean, she's 82, so she's struggling with a lot of illnesses and stuff. And she got the COVID, tested positive, had a fever. Next day had nothing. It was gone. So hopefully, you know, that's what happens to our president. But I don't want to, you know, what a crappy debate that was. You know, I wouldn't want to wish anything on anybody. Because in reality, it's just people living. And I think that was one of the biggest, for me, was one of and still continues to be the ability to forgive, to not judge, to surrender what I'm thinking. Because when I'm thinking what I'm thinking, that's a life of self still, right? Fuck him. Blah, blah. No, no, no. That's silly. Forgive, forget. You know, when I watched that debate, I thought it was a debacle. Oh, my God, that was the worst. But then I talked to people, they're really proud of him. He really came out there like it was a whole strategy. Throw Biden off or something. I'm like, really? That was planned? I don't know. Apparently Biden was wired and being mic'd in or being fed information. Biden had a wire. He was being fed information. I'm like, I would have. It's a lot of pressure. I'm 52 and struggled with my memory. I can't imagine, you know. I mean, when you're a president, you're the president, but you're surrounded by a ton of people. There's a lot of issues that come before the president that filter through five groups of people before they even before it's even worthy of reaching the president's ears. I want to try to keep this off the president's desk for now. You know, there's a lot of people that surround the president that handle a lot of things. And when they get it to a point where they think that it's worthy, then they present it to the president, and then it's, you know, discussed or decided or things are figured out. So to have put a guy, a debate with a guy just by himself, I mean, sort of makes sense, I guess. I guess maybe we would have liked to have known that. I can't even confirm that that's true. It's a conspiracy. I'm just really, you know, I'm really bummed out that we're in a place right now that we can't just agree on some stuff, I guess. You know, I'm not very political. I'm not very educated in politics. I'm pretty poorly educated, really. And honestly, I really shouldn't say anything, but it's what's on my mind right now. You know, I think what I'm missing most from a president is just a leader. And people have said this, you know, a leader. You know, a lot of people didn't like Barack Obama. I love Barack Obama. He did nothing for this country. And I guess I didn't really pay attention. I have lived such a basic, simple life that I'm, you know, the stock market going up and down, unemployment going up and down. You know, I just get up, have breakfast with my family. I cut people's hair for the day. I come home, I make dinner, and we go to bed, and we do it all over the next day. I live a pretty simple life. I don't own any stock. Not invested. But I loved Obama. I mean, you know, and I think what I'm learning that I loved the most about him was that he was our
fearless leader.
He was our leader, you know. I felt like he brought the country together. There was something, five biggest crowds ever in the world, and the biggest one, 108 million people, was for Barack Obama's inauguration. 108 million people. I wasn't the only one that liked him. But then it comes down to health care and all this other shit, and, you know, people say, oh, he wrecked our health care. And I had this conversation with my dad that I'll never forget because, you know, I had pulled my back in 1999. That is now considered a pre-existing condition. I worked. I paid for insurance. I paid out my ass for insurance. But the insurance company would do nothing for me when it came to my back because that was now considered a pre-existing condition. I have no other problems. You know, just the basic things like colds and getting older and physicals and stuff. But I don't really have any other issues. Just my back. So you can imagine paying for insurance, and the one condition that I have is not on the table. My dad's like, you should just write your congressman. I'm like, that's fucking bullshit. So for a guy like me, and there's plenty of us out there who were basically shunned because we had a pre-existing condition, to change healthcare, you know, today, like I had an MRI done on my back. I'm getting treatments for my back. That falls under my insurance. So for a guy like me, it was great. But for a guy like my dad, who is, you know, military, you know, he's set. You know, he doesn't know what pre-existing conditions are. He doesn't know shit about any of the real world people like myself. And my dad's a real world person kind of guy. But when you're in the military and you're a person in it that retires and you have a pension, he's set. My dad is taken care of. So he doesn't know. I remember as a kid when we would, you know, before I turned, I think it was either 18 or 21, you know, I fell under my father's healthcare plan, part of the military. So we would just go down to the base. If we were sick, we'd go right down to the base. We'd get right in. We'd see the doctor and yada, yada. It was like fantasy hospital, fantasy land. But when I became 18, I forget if I was under him till I was 21. Maybe it was till 21. I don't remember. But when that ended, reality set in. And so, you know, people, I always hear they hated Barack Obama because he ruined the country. I don't see that. I remember when he became president and there was a huge financial problem going on. I remember watching the news and the stock market, it was like falling through the floor. The housing market was a giant bubble that finally got popped. I mean, it was a big problem. And he was like, all right, welcome, Mr. New President. Here's your issues you're going to have to deal with. And I remember we were, it was a scary time, like 2007 or something like that, 2008. It was a scary time. People were losing jobs, losing their houses, walking away from houses. He figured out how to get us out of that, sort of. It's like PPP money. You know, this coronavirus hit and they offered that PPP money. And this is like the end of March. We're closed. Schools are closed. You can barely get toilet paper. And they say, here, we're offering PPP money. And my buddy Carlos is like, you need to get it. Take it. I did. And it helped me. It saved my ass for that 2.5 months. But now I'm back to work. Everything's kind of, I won't say it's normal, but we're creating revenue. We're working hard. And I look back and I say, I probably didn't need that money. I probably didn't. But I didn't know. We don't know. You know, and that's kind of like looking back at these presidents, you know. At the time when Obama was the newly elected president, I mean, 108 million people showed up at his inauguration. The country was looking for something. And I remember when he did his, I remember the night he won the election and he stood out on that stage in Chicago in front of all those people and I was crying. I was very emotional over it. We just come out of having Bush as our president. War. We were just kind of a broken group. And Obama really unified us, I thought. I felt part of the group. I felt unified. But, you know, 2 terms later, a term of President Bush and, I mean, Trump. And now people are like, Obama, he wrecked the country. He ruined it. I'm like, jeez. Sometimes I guess we're just never happy. But whatever. I hope everyone's happy. I hope Donald Trump and his wife pull through this and it works out okay. I feel like this is the time to start to bring the country together. Whoever is going to do it, policy aside, let's bring this country back together. And that's not just one man going, come on, everybody come together. But that's a lot of people going, listen, I'm going to put what I feel aside, my complaints. And let's try to focus on becoming a country together of people. That's what I hope. But we'll see. Well, listen, this is my Saturday episode of I Am Sorry About Last Night. Check out The Nook. I love that restaurant. They're so, so great. And they're, you know, they want to be part of the podcast. So welcome. Thank you. Check them out. Go see Dina. She's awesome. I hope everyone's having a great day.
I got soul, but I'm not a soldier.
Have a great day.